Too good, too good. How are you this morning? Alive? Awake? Alert? Let's keep going. Are you anticipatory? Is that a word? I don't know. I couldn't think of it. But hey, yeah, my name's Isaac. If you don't know me, I want to introduce myself to you. We don't have to be strangers. We can be friends. A bit of my journey. Come down from the Gold Coast. Up from the Gold Coast, sorry. Geography was also never a strong point at school. I used to think New York was an Asian town and an Asian city up until grade 11, okay? And so don't hate me on geography and not knowing kind of up, down, north, right, left, south, whatever it is. Google Maps is my best friend. But I used to actually be on team here in an era bygone pre-COVID. What a world that was, hey? And so now at the Gold Coast at elevation there and loving that. But I also came with my wife, Sophie. She's beautiful and we are together. Well, you're doing the journey, but together we're having a kid. Anyway, however you want to literally look at that or whatever. In June, and so we're so excited for that. But also brought a few great friends, Jew, Kirsty, and Sophia down the front. Go to our Gold Coast as well. And so grateful to be here. Really, really excited. And I don't know about you, but we're going to dive straight in this morning. Sorry, I was going to say I'll get you out by tonight. But we're going to have fun, I believe that. And I don't know about you, but when you look at the world ain't playing games at the moment. When you look at the climate of how the world is going, it's for real. Like, there's not mucking around. It's chaotic. It's confusing. It's conflicting. It's kind of can feel overwhelming. The world is not playing a game at the moment. And I firmly believe that it's the time for the church to rise up and not play games anymore either, but to take a stand for who Jesus is, to be bold in who Jesus is. Because I want to tell you this, he's still the hope of the world. The message of Jesus can still transform a life. Your workplace still needs Jesus. Our families still need Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of going down this journey of going, man, the presence of God is really what the church needs. Our meetings need more of God. Our Sundays need more of God. I need God's presence to help me lead better. I need God's presence to tell me how to be a better husband. I need God's presence to give me faith from Monday through to Saturday. And I'm excited that as the church rises up, as the church regains her voice, as the church unpacks scripture, not just to be an intellect, but to be a son or daughter of God and carry the presence of God, the same spirit the Bible says that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Like when we go after that and understand that, I tell you right now, Christianity is not boring. We were discussing on the way down here, you know, like isms and ists. Like is there Christianity ism? Is that a word? There isn't. Correct. We googled that and found that to be true. So I just wanted to test your. That's a little bit of fun knowledge for you. I did pass Bible college 3 years. I went there and they didn't even tell me that. I believe we're going to have fun. Church can be enjoyed, and we're going to have fun this morning. I love the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so if you want to laugh this morning, you want to just shake some things off and get a little bit relaxed, and we're going to unpack the story of Scripture together. And I believe that as we unpack this, it's not just going to be something that's going to fill your head with information, but really that Holy Spirit would illuminate to you the truth of who he is, that your Monday will be different, that you will wake up a different person. Because I know a thing or two about my God, and he's a God who doesn't leave us where we are, but he transforms us, and he molds us, and he takes us on a journey. So we're never too far gone, or we're never too old, or we've never been in this thing long enough to think we can switch off. And so I want to encourage us to lean in, and I'm just going to quickly pray and believe for Holy Spirit to move. So why don't you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we just give you the freedom and the ability to speak. That these few moments would not just be something that we go through the motions of or that we just tick and flick, but really that we would encounter you in the midst of this morning. And so right now we are hungry and we are desperate for more of you. We want to see a move of your spirit. We want to see your power and your presence be made known, even in this meeting, even in this space, even in this room. So right now we just ask that you would move in power, that you would even highlight things inside of us, that you would take us closer to you. So we just give you the freedom, the ability to speak. I had a thought in worship in the 8 a.m. and I want to kind of ignite us all in this. And you know, when archaeologists will dig up ruins, it'll tell a story about the past, right? It'll reveal things, it'll inform the past. But I felt like God this morning, I'm going to pray over some people, wanted to say, hey, you might think you're part of the older generation, people of the past, but God's saying, no, I want you to begin to dig up and tell stories of who God was so that you can inform the future and hand something to the next generation where there's a faith that's arising in people again. And so I want to challenge each and every person here. You think that your time's done. God wants you to dig up the stories. He wants you to dig up the testimonies. He wants you to dig up the faith that you had and begin to share that with those around you to deposit that into the next generation. Can I plead with you, as someone who's 26 years old, we need your faith for our future. We need your stories of how God moved to inspire us for what he could do again. Because like I said, the world ain't playing no games. We need the power and the presence and the move of God. And so can I pray for you? If you're here and you think that your time's done when it comes to Christianity and you're just existing till heaven, lie. We don't exist on earth. We're called to influence while we're on earth. And so let me pray for you. Father, for those people right now who feel like their time's done, for those people who feel like they are something of the past, I speak right now to their spirit. I speak right now to their soul. Awake, sleeper. Awake, son and daughter of God. Would you begin to prophesy again? Would you begin to speak again? Would you begin to share stories again of the past? And God, I pray that as they do that, it would unlock something powerful for the future. God, that there would be a generation rise up under them who would be passionate for the things of God, who would be desperate for a move of your presence, who would be saturated and soaked in who you are. So we speak right now to those people. They are not existing till the end of their days, but they are called to influence and impart right now where they are to a future generation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to go. I got a couple of things I would love to share. I felt like there was someone here with a sore foot. I saw like a sole of your foot or a left ankle, right ankle, something to do with foot. A couple people? Okay, cool. I believe God wants to heal you. And I know that this one thing about God is that he sees and he cares. And so if you're around one of these two, why don't you just stretch your hand? Maybe you want to turn around, put your hand, pray for them. Let's pray, hey? Holy Spirit, we thank you right now in the room that you are the God who knows. You're the God who cares. And so God, I speak right now to both these situations with the foot, with the ankle, whichever is happening that's not right. We speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare right now strength to return. I reverse, again, doctors' diagnoses that have put crippling natures on people and has limited them. I release right now the fullness of heaven. Be healed. Strength to return. Movement to return in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. I also felt like the word Lily was important. Now, Lily might be a family friend or a family member, or maybe the flower sticks out for you. Is there someone that the word Lily means something? You've got a what Lily? A piece of Lily, cool. What? Niece? Okay, cool. All right, well, I'm going to pray. What I felt with Lily was that there's an opening and a blooming, and the seed that's been sowed has not been forgotten. And so I would love to pray again for the two of you. Father, we thank you right now for whatever you're doing and depositing into those two hearts. I speak right now that there is a fruition taking place. There is a blooming taking place. There is an opening up taking place. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that the seed that has been sown in private will reap a harvest in the public sector. And so right now, we thank you right now for courage, for faithfulness, for stewardship, God. And we again believe for opening up in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Everyone said? Amen and amen. And then one more, if that's okay, I'll cut into my time. I feel like there's someone here who's having trouble sleeping. Now, hang on. Yeah, that's me too, all right? I red frog, okay? I'm up a lot of the time, okay? But I felt like there was something medical about it. Or something like mental, or something like that was plaguing you. Not just like a trouble sleeping in terms of like, oh, I just couldn't sleep, you know what I'm saying? A bit more deep than that. A few people, okay? I believe that God actually wants to deposit calm and peace and this ability to just rest in him. That's going to impact as that happens in the supernatural, happens in the natural. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, we thank you right now for those people who've put their hand up. I thank you, God, that you are speaking into their situation, the anxieties, the concerns, the worries, the things that are plaguing plaguing them at night that they just can't put their head to the pillow, I speak right now a peace that surpasses logic, a peace that surpasses understanding, and that right now, Holy Spirit, they're going to see a shift 180 degrees in their world where they're going to be able to put their head to the pillow and trust in you in a greater dependency and a greater level. And so right now, we just release that. We rebuke the enemy who would come to keep them active and alive in a way their mind can't stop. But God, we speak the peace of God in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen and amen. Well, we're going to dive straight in. It is my honor to speak today. It really is. I want to give a shout out to pastors Az and Beck too. What great. How many love your pastors? Hey, so good. I know that they'll be listening to this. We're speaking to them last week, and they just love you all. They love this family, love this church. And so I just want to echo that, but also want to honor them for the way that they're taking the call of God to impact this city, to serve you all. I know it's a tough gig. I just realized how that came across, okay? What I meant was that awkward silence proved my point where you all go, yeah, it'd be tough to work with me too, you know what I'm saying? But no, they just so love you, and so I hope they're having a great time on holidays, and I want to honor them for all that they're doing. But let's go straight in, enough of that, hey? Mark chapter 1, we're going to be speaking from verse 14, and I've titled today's talk, Breaking News. Why don't you shout back at me, Breaking News? Well done, Anastasia would be proud of you all. Seems like 10:50 every Sunday there's an announcement or something, you know what I'm saying? Breaking news, right? Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Everyone say gospel of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Father, again, we just come before you right now, and I ask that you would illuminate this passage of Scripture, that the next 25 to 30 minutes would not just be academic. It can't just be an information download to our brain, but Holy Spirit, would you bring it to life? Would there be a vibrancy that it breaks forth this morning? And would you hold my tongue when it needs to be held? Would you help me speak when I need to say something, that you would humble me? Wouldn't be Isaac's thoughts or Isaac's message, but your truth, Holy Spirit, speaking through me to your people. We speak right now to every power of principality that would raise itself up against the knowledge of you, Jesus. You take it away, that there is a clarity, a receptiveness to hear what you're speaking this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone shouted. Amen, amen. Well, as I said, Sophie and I are having our first child in June, right? Which there's so much excitement about that. There's so much joys about that. There's so much we're looking forward to. But also it's kind of like, I don't really know what to expect. Like, how do you prepare for that? We've had a puppy, we've had a plant, but really I just can't compare that to a human, right? Everyone right now is like, this guy has no idea. He's in for it. But we're having our first child in June, and with that, there's a lot of different things that kind of pop up, and one of them was kind of like, I feel like everyone just expects that I should know what to do now with a child. Like, it's like if there's a child near me, I feel like there's this unspoken expectation that they go, well, he's having a child, he should know what to do. And then if I stuff something up, it's like, no, Isaac, that's not how you hold the child. They're upside down. You got to turn them that way. They're going to be like, he's going to be such a bad dad. Can't wait for him to see what he does, right? That's going to be funny. And so there's these kind of thoughts that go through my head. And one of these instances actually was about 6 to 8 weeks ago. I was in a staff meeting at our Gold Coast location, and I was sitting there, and there weren't many people that knew at this point. Sophie and I hadn't fully announced to the world that we were having a baby, and so there's a few hand-selected people in the room who knew, and I was sitting there reading a book, right? We're doing a book study as a staff, and so we're reading there, and we're sharing our insights, and one of the ladies there who runs our kids, she had her little girl, Elise, there, and she was just letting her roam free and run around, and I was going through the book, and it's funny because not many people knew that I was having a child yet, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Elise, this little girl, starts beelining towards me. Right now, in that moment, I freaked out. because I'm like, everyone's going to think that I need to know what to do. What happens if I pick her up and she starts crying? What happens if she runs to me and I pick her up and she's not sitting right and the mum gets angry at me and I don't know what I'm going to do? So I just sat there and I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm having a kid and I had this mental breakdown and I kind of just got prayed for and I was fine. Just kidding. I sat there and I went, this is what I'm going to do. Picked up the book and I went, I just pretend I can't see her. Like, if I can't see her, she's not there. She'll come to me and she'll just go away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to deal with it. People's expectations. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out right now. I'm just going to read the book and look like I'm really studying and really avid. Really, my mind was ticking over of how to get out of this situation, right? So she came to me, saw the book, and then just walked away. And I was like, problem solved. They're like, this guy, that does not work when you have your own kid, you know what I'm saying? But it's funny, like, why do I share that? Is because I think whilst it's a funny story, it illustrates a greater truth that I think you and I engage with the world around us, whereby, I mean, what we do is we just dig our hands and put something up to try and filter things from impacting us. We try to filter the world around us, and so we just bury our heads in our metaphorical books to avoid confronting what's there. Right, we live in a world right now where there is so much announcements, right? Like, we live in a world right now where there's a breaking news story nearly every 30 minutes, right? The rise of social media has given everyone their own news desk. So everyone now can channel their inner Tracy Grimshaw and thinks that everyone else should listen to the announcement they're making and interact with it, and it's important. And so what happens as a result of that is we have to get good at being able to filter what comes through our path. And so the truth is that we only receive what we see as relevant. If we don't see something as relevant, we're not going to give it the time of day. We're not going to engage with it. We're not going to think it through. We're not going to receive it because we don't see its relevancy. And so the problem with that mentality in the world that we live in today is that when we approach the story of Jesus and the message of Jesus, we can have the same lens where we might filter things through to see, well, that's not really relevant for me, so I don't really want to receive it, right? And so what happens is in the story, in the Gospel of Mark and Mark's recount of the story of Jesus, is that he steps onto the scene and the first thing Jesus does is make an announcement. He'd just been baptized, he's just gone through the wilderness, and he steps on, and the first thing he does, the Bible says, is he came proclaiming the gospel of God. We need to make sure that we don't switch off to what is being said by Jesus, because what he's announcing is not just your average tweet that gets sent off at 9:30 p.m. so you can wake up the next morning and see who you want to debate. Right, but Jesus makes an announcement that's not average, it's actually meant to impact and change the course of history. Jesus is announcing something that was meant to be heard by everyone. This announcement would alter history. It was going to change all of humanity. It would change your life. It would change my life. It was an announcement that was designed to impact cultures and peoples of all walks of life and different backgrounds. It was an announcement of the coming of the gospel of God. So Jesus steps onto the scene and he announces not just your average type of thing, he says something that was meant to change the course of history. And so the word gospel, we need to understand from the very onset, is actually not a Christian word exclusively. Like, some of us think, maybe I thought this for a long time, is that gospel was just kind of owned by Christianity. It was patented by, you know, the church, right? But in the day of Jesus, in the Roman times, when Jesus was around, that word gospel actually had a lot of weight and currency to the people around Jesus. So the word in Greek is euangelion. And it's translated as good news or gospel, right? But this word comes from two. The first word, angelos, which means the word for one announcing news, and the prefix eu, which means joyful. So the gospel, literally translated, is news that brings joy. News that brings joy. News that brings joy. If there's one thing that our world needs right now, it's news that brings joy. With all of the things going across the globe, across the nation, there's the chaos of the world, and we've just come out of a pandemic, and there's wars, and there's fuel prices that are up, but now they're back down a little bit, which is awesome, and the cost of living is this, the housing market's this, the finances are this. It's like so chaotic, it's overwhelming. I tell you what the world needs is good news that would bring joy in their life. Good news that would bring the joy of God in their life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord Lord is our strength. The gospel literally means good news that brings joy. And the word gospel in Roman culture would speak of history-making, life-shaping news. Like I said, not just news that you see on Facebook or you see on Instagram. For example, during the time that Mark would have written this, there was actually a Roman inscription that read this: the beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus, which tells the story of the birth and the coronation of the Roman emperor. See, gospel was news of an event that would change things in a meaningful way. It would alter the course of history. It would change society in a dramatic way. So gospel, when Jesus steps onto the scene and he announced the gospel of God, he brings good news that would bring joy. And it's not just everyday news. It's news that should change your life. It's news that can change your workplace. It's news that can change your family. It's news that can change your son or daughter who've walked away. It's a news that is not just your average news. It's changing the source of the world. It's the good news of the God-man Jesus who walked on earth, who went through all the loss and heartache of humanity, who hung on a cross and was buried so that you and I could be set free from our sin and walk in relationship in the life abundant with our Creator God that we were designed to. It's why we should never move past the gospel. It's why we should never think that we've been doing this thing called Christianity for so long that the gospel is something foundational that we move past. The gospel is the very essence of our belief system. It is the news that brings joy. It is the news that chained us back then, but also changes us now. It's the news that can change people in 2022 in the same way it could change people when Jesus announced it then. So we can't move past the gospel. The gospel reminds us that it is Jesus who is the source of peace. It is Jesus who is the extender of grace. It is Jesus who can still heal. It is Jesus who can still provide. It is Jesus who is the one who can take your guilt and your shame and take it from your life. It is Jesus who announces good news that brings joy. I'm sorry if I'm sweaty, but I'm going for it. Good news that brings joy. It's the gospel that should change our world. See, the essence of our message, it's not advice. It's news. The essence of our belief is not advice. It's news. You know what separates, one of the distinctives that separates Christianity from a lot of other religions is that other religions proclaim advice. Christianity proclaims news. See, other religions will say, based off advice, this is what you need to do in order to connect with a God forever. This is what you can do to earn your way to God. This is how you have to live in order to be with God. But the gospel is not advice. It's news that says, this, my friend, is what has been done for you. This is how Jesus lived and how he died so that you could be set free and walk with God forever. It's not advice. It's news. So don't ever get too far into your walk with Jesus where you think you have to start earning your stay with him. Don't think for all of a sudden that you have to get the scales in the right place to think that you can connect with God. No, no, no. We don't offer advice. We offer news that says forever and a day, when I look back, it was always Jesus. It's always going to be him. My future's anchored in him. My past is removed by him. I'm going to focus on the gospel. I'm going to focus on the news that set me free. So I don't have to be a better Isaac. I just get to be who God has called me to be. It's news. It's not advice. I'll tell you right now, what our world in 2022 does need to hear is news that brings joy, but it's not advice, it's news. The world does not need more self-help and do this and get this to be this. No, no, no. The world needs to understand the news that can set them free in an instant. The world needs to understand the news that Jesus paid a price for them to bring something that would extend into joy in their life. So the question kind of pops up, well, what is this? What is this news of the gospel of God? Like, what is Jesus announcing? Because he jumps onto the scene in Mark, and like I said, the first thing he's seen doing past his baptism and temptation in his public ministry is that he's announcing the gospel of God. So Jesus says, I know it's Jesus because it's in red, it says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let me read it again. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I love this because Jesus is ushering in a kingdom that is going to bring heaven to earth, which is no longer about man trying to earn their way to God, but about God who has come down to man. And so he announces, and there's two key pillars, two key hallmarks that we learn from this passage of scripture around the announcement that Jesus is making that we're going to camp on for the rest of our time together. We're going to unpack it. We're going to look at it. And the first one is found in the first sentence Jesus says. He comes and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Jesus says, repent. Repent. The word repent means to reverse course or to turn away from something. In the Bible, it refers specifically to turning away from the things that Jesus hates to the things that Jesus loves. Repent, he says. Repent. I don't know about you, but in our world today, can I just give you a little insight? You and I don't determine how we repent or what we repent from. The Bible, when it talks about repentance, is that we move away from the things Jesus hates to the things that he loves, right? And so in 2022, when individualism and postmodernism is running rampant and it's all live your truth, do your thing, whatever makes you feel good, that's not the Bible. The Bible is that we would repent from the things God hates, and he defines what we run to. So Jesus says the kingdom will be hallmarked by repentance. I'm announcing a kingdom that is not determined on who you, what you think is right, but it's on who I am, and that you would be known as a people who repent. The kingdom would be evidenced through a people that repent, that it changes our hearts and our minds and our lives. You know, I think repentance is one of the most powerful habits a Christian can operate and build into their life. I love this, and the reason I love repentance is actually because of where it leads you to. I love the Bishop Phil Pringle says this: repentance is a doorway, not a living room. Repentance is a doorway, not a living room. So what happens is we have Christians who kind of get stuck in this repentance mindset where it actually doesn't free them or liberate them. It just keeps them bound in shame and bound in guilt. Oh my goodness, I did it again. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I acted like that. Oh man, this sucks. I'm just such a bad person. We get stuck in this room of guilt and condemnation. But when you understand repentance is actually meant to meet you in that, redirect you, and take you into the life that Jesus has called you to do, that repentance would get you up out of the sin that you think you should stay in and say, no, I've freed you. Remember, it's not advice. It's not based on you. It's news that brings joy. So when we repent, it should change our focus back to the life that God's calling us into. So repentance is the door that leads to healing. Repentance is the door that will lead to life. Repentance is the door that will lead to freedom. Repentance is the door that will lead to the presence of God. Repentance is the door that will sustain and build your relationship with God. So don't get stuck in a room that you're not meant to be in. Repentance should call us up out of what we're in, and by the news of who Jesus is and what he's done, put us on a path that leads to life and leads to life abundant. How many of us still allow the shame from the image on the screen that we looked at to determine and dictate our life? How many of us allow the guilt of how we spoke to that person to really grip us? How many of us allow the embarrassment of even believing in Jesus in this day and age to eliminate us from thinking he has anything for us? I tell you, friend, that happens when you're stuck in this concept that repentance is almost going to lock you in the chains that you're in, but make you feel a bit better about yourself. No. Repentance is the doorway that actually can empower you out of that to live a life that's different, to live a life that makes impact, to live a life that God wants you to live, one full of life and life abundant. See, repentance is actually how we move from defeat to victory. Repentance should not limit you. It should empower you to live with victory. So build a discipline and a habit of repentance into your life. So important is this act of repentance that when Jesus announces the coming of the kingdom of God, he says the first thing you should do, friends, is repent. But this whole pitch is summed up because he says, repent and then believe. If you look at the writings of Paul all through the New Testament, he would see what someone was doing, but he would say, no, I understand and see what you're doing, but that is not who you are and who you're called to live. Get up and go pursue and believe in who God says you are. Believe in what is rightfully yours in Jesus. Repentance, friend, is a doorway that leads to life. So Jesus says, repent. Mez, if you want to join me, that would be fantastic. Jesus says, repent. Living in his kingdom is hallmarked by repentance. But then after his first action and his announcement and what he says, well, what's the first thing Jesus does? The first thing Jesus does is he says, repent. He says, repent, believe in the gospel. Understand how important this concept of repentance is. Run away from the things that aren't of God and pursue me like nothing else in your life matters. But then he goes out and he handpicks 12 disciples. He goes and he picks 12 people. 12 people to walk with him through his time on earth, to listen to him, to observe what he does, to journey with him, to see the highest, to see he taught them. He unpacked things to them. He picks 12 people who would be his core group, his closest friends and followers. I love this, what Tim Keller says is, Jesus immediately calls people to follow him. This is unique in Jewish tradition. Pupils chose rabbis. Rabbis did not choose pupils. So at this time in history, the teacher didn't pick the student. The student would pick the teacher. So what would happen is, young Jews would hear of a rabbi and their teaching and their interpretation of scripture, which is called a yoke, right? Is their interpretation of scripture and way of living. And they would go, man, I like that. That sounds good. I resonate with that. That's kind of revelatory and it's new and it's fresh. Yeah, I like that. And so they would go and approach that school of thought or that rabbi or that teacher and they would learn from them. But I love what Jesus does is he flips the script and he's the one who picks the student. He's the one who calls the follower. He's the one who calls the person to come and walk with him and learn with him and get taught by him. So you know why I love this? It's because so often in our world, we think that the elite are the only ones who can step into something. But I love what Jesus does. He says, no. The call is not based on who you are. The call is based on who I am and that I reach out and invite you. So I need to tell you today, you are the vessel that God wants to use to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. It's why I love stories like Steve and Danny with Alpha, right? That he had a refound passion for engineering when he understood, I'm not there to make bank. What I'm there to do is actually advance the kingdom of God in my workplace and that God would pick him to be the vessel that communicates the news that brings joy. So Jesus picks the 12. He picks the 12 to expand the kingdom, to bring about the good news that would bring joy to the whole world. This is our mission in 2022. It hasn't changed. To advance the kingdom with the news that brings joy. So Jesus says, repent. He makes an announcement, repent. It's the first thing that the kingdom's going to be hallmarked by. But then he goes and he picks 12. And it's funny when you look at how he picks them, it's like a couple of them like leave their vocation. A couple of them leave their family. Like, we learn later from scripture that they actually do still have a relationship with the family. They do go back. And so it's not that they're leaving it, but I wonder if what Jesus is demonstrating in this calling, in this picking of the 12, and that they would leave everything, is that Jesus is saying, yes, there's repentance, but after that, there's a reprioritization. There has to be. The second trait of the kingdom is to reprioritize. What Jesus is saying in this day and age and what happens in this scenario is actually scandalous, it's drastic, it's disruptive. In traditional Jewish culture, you actually got your identity from your family. It formed who you were, from the basis of your life. So for these men to leave their family, it's scandalous. It's drastic. It's not normally done. And so when Jesus says to them, I want priority over even your family, the Jews of the day would look at that as scandalous, drastic, disruptive, abnormal measures. But he's asking the disciples for a reprioritization. And so if we think of that today in our culture of individualism, and it's not abnormal for people to walk away from a family or to leave when they grow up and they marry, like it's not kind of anything out of the ordinary, but for Jesus to say today, I want priority over your career, that's drastic. I want priority over your stuff and your possessions, that's ridiculous. I want priority even over your finances. That's like unheard of. I want priority even over your planning and your future and where you think you're going and how it's gonna look, and to give that over and say, Jesus, my priority is you above that. I mean, that's like unheard of. So what Jesus is saying in the kingdom of God is, I need to be your priority. I need to be your priority. He's saying, knowing me, loving me, resembling me, serving me, that must become the supreme passion of your life. Everything else comes second. I need to be the number one. I need to be the person that you run to. I need to be the one that you cry to. I need to be the one that you pray to. I need to be the one that you trust. Don't think that you getting such amount of money in your bank balance is going to provide security. No, no, no. I want priority over that. I want you to surrender it to me. I want you to trust in me and me alone. It's all about you coming to me and understanding I am the anchor for your soul. And so what gets highlighted here is something I've actually called the impact of the if. We all live out of it. We all operate by it. See, if you say, Jesus, I'll obey you if my career thrives. I'll obey you if my health is good. I'll obey you if my family's all put together. I'll obey you if it means that I'm still liked and I'm still popular. I'll obey you if it means that nothing will ever be uncomfortable. Then what's on the other side of your if is your real master, not Jesus. See, the kingdom is about reprioritizing. Jesus will not be a means to an end. He himself must be the goal. He will not be used. If he calls you to follow him, he must be the point. He must be the priority. The kingdom is about reprioritizing our lives, reorientating our lives around Jesus. Like, do you think it was comfortable for those men to leave their vocation? Do you think it was comfortable for those men to follow Jesus and leave everything? Do you think that was convenient? Do you think that's what they woke up that morning thinking life would look like for them? But let me tell you, kingdom living is not about convenience. It's about the call of God, that he would take you out of something and repurpose you with a greater passion, repurpose you with a greater mission. No one ever made a difference living out of convenience. So Jesus wants you to reprioritize, to reorientate your life around him. He wants to use you to advance his kingdom. Jesus is calling you to step into the life that you were destined and called to live. Not where you just exist, but where you influence. Not just one where you just kind of wake up, go through the motions, but where you look at life with a different lens to go, I've repented of the things that I was going towards that you hate, Jesus, and I'm pursuing you, and I'm reprioritizing, I'm reorientating my life around you, so that now when I step into that space, I'm not thinking with me at the focus, I'm thinking with you, Jesus, at the focus. So when you get that small whisper of says, God, maybe you want me to speak to that person, you act out of obedience. Can I tell you, for me to get up at the beginning and say those things that I thought Holy Spirit was saying was scary. Like, what happens if no one puts their hand up? I never get invited back. That's what happens.
I made myself laugh. That was funny.
But I tell you, when you understand, I'm going to repent from me thinking it's about my image, and I'm going to reprioritize you. God, you still want to meet with people. I'm going to step out and follow you and do it even if I look silly. Why? Because what's on the line is someone encountering and meeting God. And that's more important than how I feel in a moment. So he says, repent. Reprioritize, reorientate your life around me. He wants to use you to impact your world, the world around you. I'll finish with this. Jesus' announcement of news that brings joy is about a kingdom coming, a kingdom hallmarked by repentance and reprioritization. So my question as we close is, will you answer the call? Will you be someone who says, yes, I repent. I reprioritize my life around you. I want to be used as a vessel to see your kingdom come in and through me to the world around me. Been reflecting this week. You know, the kingdom of God is established, I believe, when the activity of God merges with the availability of humanity. And can I tell you right now, God is desperate to move across this city. God is desperate to fill the schools in this city. God is desperate to meet with those people that you work with every day. God is desperate to meet with your family member who you think they're too far gone. God is desperate to move. So my question to us is, will we answer the call? Will we put our hand up to say, I'm available to merge with the activity of God to see the kingdom established here where I stand? Let me pray. Father, thank you for this incredible moment with you, that it would not just be just another Sunday, but there would be a line in the sand, a stake in the ground, that we would be a people who say, I want to see your kingdom established where I walk. I want to see your kingdom established when I do groceries. I want to see your kingdom established with my family when we have lunch together. I want to see your kingdom established with my interactions when I'm at the gym. Whatever it is, that we would look with a new perspective, with a new lens that's kingdom-minded. You know, just in this moment, also want to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here and you don't have relationship with Jesus. You might have come here, maybe you just were invited by someone, or maybe you just stumbled in here. You don't even quite know how or why you're here. And I want to tell you, you're not here by accident or chance, but God wants to meet with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to simply give you an opportunity to respond and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Remember, this is not advice, it's news. You don't have to look back at the last week and go, oh, I don't know if I could do this. I did some pretty hectic things and I don't know if God would accept me. Friend, he will. Or maybe you're here and you once had a relationship with Jesus, but you walked away, you did your own thing, you tried your own thing, and God this morning is calling you home. I want to tell you that his arms are just as wide open today as they were whenever you made that decision, however many years ago. So if you're one of those two people, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, in a count to three, I'd ask that you'd raise your hand and you pop it back down. One, two, three. If that's you, just raise your hand. So look from the left to the right. We had someone make that decision in the 8 a.m. But there's someone here today who says, man, I want to make that decision. So look one more time from the left to the right. Awesome. Well, Father, we thank you for everything that's been spoken. Would you saturate that in our soul that we would go out Monday different? We would leave different. We would leave transformed. Thank you that you call us into your kingdom to advance it, that we would make a habit out of repenting and reprioritizing around you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.